Good evening. Thanks for coming. This week's Shir and CD is an honor for Refuah Shleima for Leah Tova Basverda. She should have a complete and total recovery instantly, right now. Amongst all those who are sick amongst the Jewish people. Another dedication tonight. Again, this is for the Shir and CD. It was by our dear friend Moshe Bush. This is an honor for Refuah Shleima for his mother, Sarah Bas Perel. The CD, another sponsorship this week on the CD was by Benny Westreich. This is Lezeich and Nishmas, his father, whose yard site is going to be this Friday on Hay of Harav Yehoshua ben Reb Yosef Yoiska. May his neshama be elevated to the greatest of heights and channel tons and tons of blessings in everything, in the material and in the spiritual. Much blessings to you and to your entire family. Another sponsorship this week on the CD was by the Smolyansky family. And this is in honor of a couple of yard sites of grandparents and uncles. We had a grandfather, Shmerel ben Wolf, a grandfather, Yisrael Pinchas ben Chaim, an uncle, Yosef ben Yisrael Pinchas, and another grandfather, Avram ben Yitzchak. May all these neshamas, their neshamas, go higher and higher and higher and be elevated to very, very, very great heights and channel lots of blessings down to you and to your family. We should be reunited with everyone very quickly, Be'ezus Hashem, soon. Last dedication tonight, Shir was dedicated by Moses Ikare, by Mo. This is in honor of his good friend, Chuck and Laura Mendel, for a safe return from their trip. May they come home safely, and everybody that's traveling should also come home safely, and it should be much bracha for everyone. Tonight's class is going to be, two announcements quickly. Last week we began that special series of a Rabbi Abraham Lieberman on the Beis HaMikdash. Spoke Tuesday night was for the first Beis HaMikdash. It was a phenomenal class, and tomorrow night we'll have the second class for the second Beis HaMikdash, and then finally on Tisha B'Av, in the afternoon, during the day, 5:30 in the afternoon, we will have the third class all about the third Beis HaMikdash. So please come and join. If you missed the first one, you still catch the second and the last class. Thanks to those who attended, and please bring your friends. It was very special. Another thing to note, we are having, we just went into the 9 days. It's a sad period, but by Jews, we're looking forward to the nechama, to the comfort that comes afterwards, and to the getting up on Shabbos Nachamu. We are having a very special event here on Saturday night, Matzah Shabbos Nachamu, a classical concert, very, very beautiful. It's going to be very uplifting, and music that really touches the soul. So you'll see the advertisement, the flyer with the CDs this week, and they're all over. Be'ezus Hashem, please make a reservation. Call us for tickets. It's going to be Matzah Shabbos in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, July 20th, Matzah Shabbos Nachamu. This week we're going to dedicate the class, we're going to veer away from the parsha. We're not going to discuss Parshas Devarim. Being that we're in the 3 weeks, we're going to talk about something relating to the times of the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks is a sad period, a time of mourning for the Beis Hamikdash. However, as we spoke about 2 weeks ago, that it's time that we shift the 3 weeks. And instead of it being about the mourning and the sadness of the past, it should be more about the anticipation and the excitement about the future. I think the feeling, you know, there's a certain, it's hard to really describe it, but there's a certain sensation, can't say an enjoyment, but a sensation in mourning. You know, you mourn, you krecht, and you're sad, and you get things off your chest. And I remember, like, when we were young, in yeshiva, you know, there was, Tisha B'Av was also exciting. It's exciting, we're going to cry. It's exciting that there's that kind of a thing. But that lasts, you know, I think that has expired already for everyone. I think there is no more oomph in the whole mourning and crying business. Because if we want to cry, there's so much crazy pain in the world. And if we become a little sensitive to what's going on, maybe not such persecutions like we had in the early days, but people in their own private lives, whoever you get to know, so much illness and suffering and problems and family problems, and there's so much hurt and there's so much pain that the Jewish people have had more than their share and more than we can handle. And at this point, it's already, come on, let's move ahead. It's time to move to something new. It's time to get out of it. So therefore, it's good that in the 3 weeks, I think if our emphasis changes and we start anticipating the redemption, waiting for the redemption and being excited about the redemption, that's going to give that last shove and that last push. If your child is expecting something so strongly, it's hard to say no because of their expectations. So if the Jewish people have such intense expectations that Moshiach has to come, then Hashem has to give it to us. So that's our avoda, that's our service these days, to make it impossible for Hashem to keep back the geula even just 1 minute longer. So tonight I'd like to focus and dedicate the class totally to Moshiach. What is the world going to be like when Moshiach comes? And maybe give a little ring of happiness to our general broken hearts. When we talk about the only one in halacha, the only codifier in Jewish law who codified laws in regards to Moshiach is the Rambam. And that's why we follow Maimonides, we follow the Rambam. Pertaining to Moshiach, we have to follow Maimonides. Because there's no one else. There's no Shulchan Aruch. Because Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law, only deals with laws that apply, applicable in our days, not what is applicable in the future. So for the Rambam, however, he codified the entire Torah, including Mashiach. So the Rambam has laws called the laws of kings. And he speaks about the laws of all the Jewish kings, but ultimately Mashiach is a king. So Maimonides speaks about the laws of Mashiach, and he also describes the era of Mashiach. What is it going to be like after Mashiach comes? So the Rambam simplifies it very, very much. And the Rambam says, don't expect very drastic and dramatic changes. Life is going to go on as normal. There won't be problems. I guess that's not life going on as normal. There won't be problems as we have today. But the world in general is going to continue in its normative operation. going to be a normal world. This is the, and I'll read from you a quote from the Rambam, in the last perek, in his last chapter of his entire book of the Mishneh Torah, in the last chapter, in chapter 12, he says like this, Al yayla alalev, it shouldn't occur to one's heart or one's thought, should be a moisa Mashiach, that in the days of Mashiach, yivatol davim min hagish alaylam, that something will change from the conduct of the world. Or yisham chiddush, or there might be some kind of a novel change, b'maisa bereishis, in the work of creation. Don't think that there's going to be some dramatic change in the world. The world is going to continue running as it is its custom today, as it is as minhag today. Now the Rambam is challenged with obvious prophecies. Prophecies that speak about spectacular miracles and changes that are going to happen in the world. How does it fit with Maimonides' description about Mashiach? He says, don't expect the world to go haywire after Mashiach comes. The world is going to be a very ordinary world. He says, Vezeshanema b'Yeshaya, and this that it says in Yehoshaya, in the prophecies of Isaiah, Vagor zevim keves, that a wolf will live together with a lamb, Venomerim gedi, and a leopard and a goat will hang out together, yerbats will graze together, or will lie down together. Rambam says, Mashal v'chida, that's only a mashal. That's only a, it's a metaphor, it's a riddle. We have to understand that that is metaphoric for certain things that are going to happen in the world, but not that miracle, because that's a miracle, a clear miracle that the predatory nature of the animals is going to disappear, that predator and prey are going to live together and play together. So Rambam explains, in Yenadavar, the idea of the matter is, She'il Yisrael Yoshvin Levetach Em Rishay Ha'olam, that Jews are going to live securely with the wicked people of the world. That means the Jews are going to live securely with their neighbors, including those who dislike the Jewish people and made us a whole bunch of tzaras. When Mashiach will come, everybody's going to live in peace and harmony. So the nations, he says, who are compared, Amashulam Bezev Venomer, the nations that are compared to a wolf or to a leopard, they too will live peacefully, and there will be, in general, the world, Mashiach will herald in a time of peace and tranquility in all of the world. The Yachzeru Kulam L'dasa Emes, and everybody's going to go back to the true faith, and that is belief in one God. V'lo yigzalu v'lo yashchisu, people will not rob, they won't rob, they won't plunder. V'lo yashchisu, they won't destroy. V'lo yoichlu davar amuter, everybody's going to eat that which is permissible. There will be no stolen, no stealing, no cheating. Everybody's going to be honest and decent and moral and ethical. Benachas b'Yisrael, everybody's going to be calm. There's going to be any competition. It's going to be a very calm time, and there's going to be, and later Maimonides is going to describe, it's going to be a time of great plenty. There's enough to eat, enough to supply everything. But that's not a miraculous change. Shanamar, and he brings a pasuk, v'aryeh kebukar yochal tevin. A lion, like a cattle, like a cow, will eat straw. So the Rambam says this doesn't mean physically a lion will eat straw. No, a lion is a carnivore, and it eats animals. It eats. So that's not what is going to happen. Rather, it means that an animal is going to eat. A lion is going to eat. A lion means the nations are going to conduct themselves in a moral way. They're going to be eating straw, meaning just like the innocence of a cow that eats straw, so too is going to be in the world. And so too in all the matters that say about Mashiach. They're only metaphors. And when Mashiach will come, in the days of Mashiach, then Yivad al-Akol, it's going to be known to everyone, what this was a mashal for, what this was a metaphor, Uma Inyan Ramaz Behem, and what is hinted to it. Okay? So a very interesting and clear description of Maimonides in regards to Mashiach. Mashiach life general is going to continue as it is. However, there's going to be a time of peace in the world. He continues in the next law, just the first phrase. He says, Amru Chachamim, our sages have told us, Ein Bein Ha'olam Azel Yemoisa Mashiach, there is no difference between this world and the Mashiach world. Elo Shibut Malchiyas Bolvad. The only difference between our world and Mashiach's world is the subjugation to the nations. Jews are not going to be subject to the nations. We're not going to have an alien government suppressing us, or that we are going to be, we're going to have to answer to. Jews are going to be independent. We're going to have our own kingdom and the land of Israel. We're going to run our affairs as we would like it to run. It means that there is going to be a Torah government in the land of Israel, and all of the Jewish people, Rambam says that earlier, are going to return to observance and with joy, with happiness, not through coercion, but in an exciting and happy way. And Mashiach is going to build the Beis HaMikdash and the like. But in terms of the world affairs, everything is going to be the same. The only difference between our days and Mashiach's time is now we're in exile and there are other powers that tell us what we could do and what we can't do. When Mashiach comes, we're going to be free to practice our faith, our religion, our connection to Hashem as we like it. That's the Rambam's idea of Mashiach. The problem with this is the Rambam is contradicted by many statements of the sages. In Chazal, in the sages, there are many statements, if you look through the Talmud, that clearly contradict what Maimonides says. There are predictions of enormous, spectacular miracles. Now, true, the Rambam said all these things are metaphors, but that's when we're talking about the prophets. Prophecies generally were shown to the prophet in metaphors, because they came in a clear way. The prophet saw something and he needed to interpret it. That's when we're talking about prophecies. And all the prophecies come in such a poetic form. But when we're talking about the sages, the author of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, they spoke very clearly. And when they say something, they usually mean it as it is. So now we have a problem. How are we going to understand all this that the sages say, which clearly contradict what Maimonides says? Let's quote a few of these things. The first one is in Parshas Bechukosai, in the Chumash, in the end of Sefer Vayikra, in the end of Leviticus. It says over there that Hashem promises the Jewish people, if you're going to go follow my mitzvahs, ves mitzvosai tishmoru, you're going to observe my commandments, vasisa moisam, you're going to do them. Then I promise you all kinds of good things are going to happen. And most of the commentaries on the Chumash say that this is referring, all these blessings the Jewish people had not yet ever received, all these amazing blessings are referring to the days, the Messianic age, the time of Mashiach, the era of the coming of Mashiach. Over there, there's a pasuk in verse number 4 in Parshas Bechukosai. It says that v'nosna ha'aretz yivula, the earth is going to give forth her produce. V'eitz hasadeh, and the trees of the field, yitain pirio, will give their fruit. The tree of the field will give its fruit. So the Torah's Kohanim, which is a medrash on Vayikra, says, what does it mean that the tree of the field will give its fruit? It means that after Mashiach comes, all the barren trees will produce fruit. Today, you have two types of trees. There are fruit trees, which are a minority, and then most of the trees that we see are barren trees, ordinary trees that don't give fruit. When Mashiach comes, all the trees will give fruit. Whether they'll give the same kind of fruits like we have now, or will come up, or there will be a whole new kinds of fruits that we don't even know of, that the Medrash doesn't tell us, so we will wait and we will see. But the Medrash says that the Pasuk means that all trees will give fruit. Now the Medrash actually precedes that by saying a few other things. That when it says Venasna Aretz Yevula, it says it's going to be like it was in the days of Adam Arisha, in the days when God created the world initially before the sin, and that trees gave their fruit on the very day they were planted. The tree is planted, the fruits came out, and also trees produce fruit every day. Now they only have a crop once a year. It takes the whole seasons, the four seasons, and then you'll have the time of the year and when the fruits come out. When Mashiach will come, trees will always be giving their fruit all the time. Also, that the wood itself is going to taste like the fruit. Today's days, the fruits, only the fruit has a taste, but the branches don't have a taste. When Mashiach comes, the trees themselves are going to be like the fruit. They're going to be tasty, like it was at the beginning of creation. Okay, those miracles at least were, or that's those things, at least the world has seen it
We didn't see it, but Adam HaRishon saw it. Adam saw it before he ate from the tree of knowledge. But that miracle, that all the trees are going to give fruit, seemingly, we'll still speak about it soon, seems to be that's a new miracle. It's a new thing that has never been in the world yet. And that is clearly a change miminhagoy shel olam, from the conduct of the world. That's not the way the world is now. That's a change in nature. It's an alteration in nature. So that we see that there is going to be a change. The same is also in the Talmud Masechtas Ksubis. In Masechtas Ksubis, the conclusion of the Masechta, the Gemara tells us, I'm going to quote it from the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Amar Abchiyah Barashi, the last words in Masechtas Ksubis, Tractate Ksubis, on Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Amar Abchiyah Barashi, Abchiyah Barashi says, Amar Rav, Asi din kol ilanei srak sheba Eretz Yisrael. In the future, all the ilanei srak, all the barren trees that are in Eretz Yisrael, sheyitanu peros, they're all going to have fruit. Shanamar, they're going to be loaded with fruit. Shanamar, as it says, and it brings a pasuk from Yoel where it says, ki eitz nasa piryoi, that the fruit, that the trees have given its fruit. And then it continues, it says, te'eno v'gethen, the figs and the grapes and the vines, nasnu chelem, have given their power. So since it says two phrases in the pasuk, one is trees will give fruit, and the other one, the fig and the vine will give its fruit, implying the second half of the verse is talking about ordinary trees. They're gonna produce in abundance. The first half of the pasuk that says trees will give, and it doesn't say which trees, that's talking about even a greater miracle, that trees that don't have any fruit will be giving fruit. So again, this two sources, which says clearly that there's going to be a change in the nature of the world after Mashiach comes. Now, here's a third one, similar to that, but even a greater miracle. This is in Tractate Masechtis Shabbos. The Gemara tells us over there that on Daf Lamed Dalet, I think it is. So the Gemara says that Rebbe Gamliel was once teaching before giving a talk for his students. And he was talking about what the world is going to be like after Mashiach comes. And he said a few things that are going to happen. A few things. He says women are going to give birth every day to children. There isn't going to be a 9 month pregnancy, but there's going to be a birth. Once a woman conceives, very quickly, she's going to give birth. And then he also said another drush. He said trees are going to give their fruit every day, like we mentioned earlier. And then he said another thing, asid the Eretz Yisrael, that the land of Israel is going, the future is going to be shetoytzi glus ka'ois, that it's going to produce, the trees are going to give forth finished bread rolls. Now we get wheat, and then we have to grind the wheat, and the whole process, until we're able to, we have to take the kernels and then grind them. First you have to thresh it to be able to separate the kernels and take it out of its out of the straw, whatever that is holding it, and then you have to grind it, make it into flour, and it's a whole work. With the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. However, when Mashiach comes, there are going to be finished cookies growing everywhere. Bread rolls are going to be all over. Vaklimilis, and trees and plants are going to produce woolen clothing. Woolen clothing is going to be a pants bush and a shirt bush and whatever, all types of clothing that are going to grow from the trees. And he brings a verse for that. There was a student that thought it was ridiculous, and he laughed. And he said, what are you talking about? Like, how can that be? And he even wrote a verse to that. He said, Ein kol chadash tachas ha-shemesh. There is nothing new under the sun. So Rav Gamliel said, you know what? Come outside, let me show you something. And he took him outside, and he showed him that there is something like this. He showed him mushrooms, large mushrooms growing from the ground. And he said, see the mushroom? Mushrooms grow very quickly. They're not here yesterday, and they're here the next day. And they look like a roll. They're round, and they're big. So he said, you see, we have something similar to that, something large growing out very quickly, and it's like a roll. He said, if you look in the heart of a palm, in the beginning when it starts to grow, there's like a woolen something inside growing in it, and they can use it. They use it. Some people use it to make clothing from it. It's like finished material. So, see, it exists in some small way already today. When Mashiach will come, that is going to be expanded, and there's going to be much more of that, and there's going to be the miracle, meaning it's going to fully materialize that we will have finished clothing. This is what it says. Directly produced, finished, not in an unfinished state. So these are a few of the sources. That's one thing. These are what the Gemara says. There is another thing. The Ravid, who is the one who, his name is Avram ben David, and he was one who, I don't think he was a contemporary of the Rambam, I think he lived after the Maimonides, but he wrote on the Rambam. He's always arguing on the Maimonides. And over here, he takes on issue with the Rambam, and he says, how can you say there won't be a change in the world? The sages, the Pasuk says clearly, V'hishbati chayera min haaretz. I'm going to remove wild beasts from the world. And the sages argue, what does it mean, I'm going to remove wild beasts from the world? Either it means that they're going to be eliminated, or it means that their predatory nature is going to change, and that the animals will not be harmful anymore. They won't be dangerous anymore. Bears won't be dangerous anymore. Leopards, lions will not be killer animals. They will be calm and nice, like a little puppy. That's the way these wild beasts are going to be. So there's a clear statement that there is going to be, that is a very great change in the world. That's Ravid's kasha. So again, so we do see there are many contradictions to the statement of the Rambam. What is the Rambam going to do with all these explicit statements that say that there is no change in the world? So we can offer many kinds of suggestions. One possible suggestion would be that Maimonides is going to be forced to say that when the sages are saying these things, they also mean it allegorically, and they also mean it metaphorically. Meaning, just like we said it about the prophets, we'll squeeze, and we have no choice, and we'll say when the sages are saying that the trees are going to give forth rolls and cookies, or the and finished clothing, and that as we said earlier, all trees are going to give forth fruit. Maybe that's a metaphor. It can be a metaphor. You know, the sages tell us that a human being is compared to a tree. A scholar, a person who has Torah wisdom, a scholar is compared to a fruit tree. A person that is lacking Torah knowledge is compared to a barren tree. So maybe what it means is that when Mashiach comes, all people will have knowledge, because the ignorant will be enlightened. And that's why everybody is going to have knowledge, and that's what it means, that all trees are going to bear fruit. We could possibly say that, and that would be the explanation. The problem why it's difficult to accept that is, because that's number one, and that's the main reason, it's much harder to say that when it comes to statements of the sages. One thing to say that in regards to prophecies. It's another thing to say that about when the sages are talking and they're saying something, to say that it doesn't mean in the literal sense. Another thing is, these very statements of Chazal, over here there's a special indication that they do not mean it metaphorically. Now, even if we could argue that sometimes we have to say when the sages say something, it doesn't mean in the literal sense, it means a metaphor, but over here, and precisely in these places that we mentioned earlier, you cannot say that. Let's go back to the first place. The first indication was where the sages mentioned that the trees, that all trees are going to give forth fruit. The sages say that in continuation to other statements. The other statements that they say has to mean in the literal, cannot mean metaphorically. Because what do the Chachamim say? What does it say in Torah's Kahanim? In Torah's Kahanim, it goes ahead and it lists an entire list of things that are going to happen when Mashiach comes. One in succession, one after another. It says that the world today, is the earth today, is not going to produce like it's producing now, but that it's going to produce like it produced in the days of Mashiach. Sorry, in the days of Adam Arishon, in the days of Adam and Chava before the sin. Now, if we think about Adam and Chava before they sinned, it's saying that what? That they had fruit every day. That it didn't take a few months until the grains grew, until the trees produced. It was produced every day. Now, that means in the literal sense. The sages are saying that It's when Mashiach comes, it's going to be like it was in the days of Adam HaRishon. So there it was in the literal sense. Then it continues. It says that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be like it was then. Then the bark tasted like the tree. So too when Mashiach comes, the bark, the wood itself is going to taste like the fruit. The wood is going to taste like the fruit. So that means in the physical. If that's the case, so the next statement that follows immediately is also talking in the literal sense. If it says that when Mashiach comes, all trees are going to bear fruit, probably it means in the physical as well. It would be very difficult to say that they're listing a bunch of things which are all in the physical sense, and only their last statement they meant only allegorically. It's hard to accept that. Another, also in the Gemara Masechtas Ksubas. The Gemara which we stated in the Masechtas Ksubas, where he brings in the name of Rabashi, that what? That again, the same idea, that all barren trees are going to give forth fruit. Over there, the Gemara is in continuation to a bunch of statements about how the sages loved the land of Israel and how they displayed their love. And there were some of the Chachamim, when they came to the land, they kissed the earth. Another sage would roll in the dust. He would roll in the dust because he didn't care to get dirty from the dust of the land of Israel because it was so precious. Another one of the sages smoothed out the land, the roads. Wherever he would see bumpy road, he would sit and smooth the road because he didn't want people to come back and say bad things, that they got stuck and their wagon got stuck and they got a flat tire and they'll blame the roads in the land of Israel. So the Gemara goes in a succession of a bunch of things that which and then it says Eretz Yisrael is going to give forth fruit. So, I mean, everything before that is in the literal. It's not like we're dealing in a very mysterious passage of the Talmud. Which sometimes you have that. You have a page of Talmud where the whole thing is like bewildering you. You can't make heads and tails of it. And you say, wow, they must have been speaking in some mysterious way. Over here, the Gemara is a very pshat, very simple, and understood in the literal sense. Suddenly we have one statement which is going to mean differently. It's hard to accept that. So let's see if we can find any other explanations that the commentators try to say. So they offer an explanation like this. One of the explanations are, this is from the Radvaz. He is one of the classic commentaries on Maimonides. And he says, remember we said that there was an objection from the Ravid, again, the contemporary of the Rambam. And he objects and he says, what do you mean there won't be a change in the nature of the world? Animals will not be predators anymore. It says in the Pasuk, an animal won't be a predator. So the Radvaz turns to the Ravid, to the one who argues on the Rambam. He says, I don't understand what you're asking. Rambam says that all these verses are metaphors. It's all metaphors. So what's wrong with this verse in Parshas Bechukosai? When it says, V'hijbati chaya rab artzachem, I'm going to remove predatory animals from your land. Well, that too is also a metaphor. I mean, if the Rambam was able to say that about the verses in Isaiah, in Yeshaya, why can't he say the same thing about the verse in Bechukosai? It's simple. It's a metaphor. Okay. But then he goes on and he continues and he says, but the truth of what a person needs to believe in, I'm going to read the words over here, he says the correct thing that a person ought to believe in, v'ha'emes, avamasharo lahamin b'zeh, but the right thing that a person ought to believe in, shahadvarim em gam kipshutam, that in the land of Israel itself, it should be understood in the literal sense as well. Be'eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, not in the entire world. Kedechsiv, like it says, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, lo yareyu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kachi, that in my entire holy mountain they will not do any bad, v'lo yashchisu, they will not be destructive. Ki imala ha'oretz, because the land will be filled with the consciousness of God, and even the animals will feel it. When it says ha'oretz, it means the land, the holy land, the land of Israel. Ha'oretz ha'yedua. So v'chein v'shbati chayirom in ha'oretz, so too I will eliminate a wild beast from the land. It means in the literal sense. However, in the rest of the world, Aval Bishara Rotzis, but in all the other lands, over there, Maimonides says, Olam Kimen Hagay Noihag, the world is going to continue conducting itself in its natural means. Vaksuvim hem mashal, and really it's only a metaphor. It's a metaphor for what? That nations will not wage war against each other. Shekeng siv, so it says in the Pasuk, v'lo yisa goy al goy cherev, that nation to nation will not lift the sword. V'lo yilmedu od mochama, they will not teach each other war. However, Be'eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, Yiskayim Apshat V'Hamashal. In the land of Israel, however, in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be both. The Pshat, Pshat meaning, the simple meaning, the animals will not kill, the animals won't be predators, and V'Hamashal, and it will also be, in the spiritual sense, that the Jews will get along with their neighbors. There won't be any more wars and alike. So again, for whatever reason, the Radvaz feels that making the land of Israel an exception is not called God changing the nature of the world. When Maimonides says, when Rambam says the world is going to continue in its natural state, he's talking about the world at large. The land of Israel, that's a special place. Over there, miracles will happen. Interesting, if you look in Nachmanides, Ramban, Parshas Bechukosai, on that very verse where it says Hashem is going to eliminate the wild beasts, he says exactly this. He says that in the land of Israel, there is going to be a special bracha, that over there, animals, their nature will change. Those that are living in the land, those that are living outside, not. But those who live in the land of Eretz Yisrael, so it will be. And he says, it's not really an alteration of the nature, because that's the way it was when God created the world. When Hashem created the world, the wild beasts did not have a predatory nature to them. When Hashem created the world, all animals, Nachmanides says, would eat grass and vegetation. That was initially. It was only after Adam HaRishon sinned, and he brought pollution and contamination into the world. Not only did he bring Yetzer Hara into his own heart, but he brought some kind of an evil, some kind of a Yetzer Hara into all the animals, and that is the reason why they attack each other as well. When Mashiach comes, he says, in the land of Israel, it will be restored to the pristine state that God created the world in, and animals will not hurt or harm each other in the land of Israel. So we can say that that is the Maimonides' opinion. And Maimonides, who says that the world will not change, he will not be conflicted or challenged by all the Medrashim, by all the Gemaras and all the sage statements of the sages, in which we do talk about an alteration of nature, both trees giving forth speedily their fruit, and that all trees will give forth fruit, and that animals will not harm each other, they won't attack people and they won't attack each other, we can say that Maimonides was speaking only that in Eretz Yisrael all these things will happen, but outside of the land of Israel, over there it's only a mushel. And Maimonides says it's only a mushel for something else. That possibly could be the answer. However, it's an insufficient answer. We have a problem with that answer. We can't accept that. And the reason why it's difficult to accept that answer is because, number one, to say that Eretz Yisrael is going to be a miraculous state is still going against the idea of Olam Kemenhagoy Noheg. If the Rambam says the world is going to conduct itself in its normal affairs, if Eretz Yisrael is suddenly this supernatural, miraculous place where everything is working differently, it's hard to then continue and say that Olam Kemenhagoy Noheg, the world continues in its normal state. After all, you have a country like the land of Eretz Yisrael, which everything is different. Again, it's very difficult to accept that. Another thing is, I mean, unless we say there is one exception, unless we can argue and say that when a miracle is taking place in a certain place in time and space, in a certain area, then, and the rest of the world is still following the regular natural order, we can say that that's called Olam Kemenhago Nohag, that the world is still conducting itself in a normal way. For instance, and given a proof to that, when the Jews left Egypt, God did 10 makos, right? So God didn't change the nature of the whole world, but he changed the law in Egypt, but that was only for a very short period of time. During the week in which the makkah was in effect, in which the plague was in effect. But think about it. When the Jews came out of Egypt and they wandered in the desert, for 40 years, they had bread falling from the heaven every single day. Well, that's a pretty suspension of the laws of nature. For a long 40 years is a very long time. So what are you going to say? The world wasn't anymore conducting itself in a normal way. The answer is, when it happens only in a certain place, and it has a limited amount of time, even though it's a long period of time, it's not really called an alteration of nature for the universe, for the whole world. So we would maybe argue and say that the land of Israel, since it's only going to take place in one place, the change, it's not a contradiction to Olam Kemenoge Noyeg, that the world is conducting itself in a natural way. However, here we have to stretch it a little further, because here we're going to say that that's the way it is going to be forever and ever. That for all time, Israel is going to be running in miracles. That's already, again, seemingly difficult to say. If Maimonides is stating strongly, Olam Kemenhage Noyeg, that the world conducts itself in a normal way. The other reason why it's hard to accept this, that Israel is an exception, is because in the Rambam, in the Perek before this, in Perek Yud Gimel, Maimonides says in chapter 13 of the Laws of Kings, okay, we were quoting from Maimonides chapter 14, where he's discussing the Messianic era, Mashiach's time. We're talking now in Perek Yud Gimel, a Perek before that. There Maimonides is talking about Mashiach himself. What does Mashiach have to do in order to prove himself that he is Mashiach? How will it be known which is the person that's Mashiach? So Maimonides says, Al Yaila Al Adas, it shouldn't occur to your mind, Shahamelech HaMashiach, that King Mashiach Tzarech Lasis Oisus HaMoifzim, needs to make miracles and signs. He doesn't have to do that. U'machadesh Dvarim Ba'olam, and he has to make new things in the world. Oy Machaya Mesim, or he has to resurrect the dead. U'kiyotze B'dvarim Eilu, or these other spectacular things. Sha'atipshim Oimrim, that fools say. Fools think that Mashiach has to come and do all kinds of stunts. He says that's a foolish thought. He says, Ein adavakach. The matter is not so. And he gives a proof to that. There was a time in history when the Jewish sages accepted a person as Mashiach. They thought he was Mashiach, and that was Ben Kuziva. Shimon Ben Kuziva, he led a revolt against the Romans about 50 years after the destruction of the Second Temple. And the sages followed him, led by Rabbi Akiva, the greatest sage, who believed that he was the redeemer of the Jewish people. He read upon him the pasuk Darach Kochav MiYaakov, that a star will rise forth, will shoot forth from Yaakov. He thought that this is Shimon ben Kuziva. And they followed him, he says. They were Chachmei Gadol Mechachmei Mishnahoya. They were from the Mishnah. For who are Noise Kalev? Rabbi Akiva served him. Rabbi Akiva, the greatest of sages, walked behind him carrying his suitcases, his belongings, because he felt he was his servant, because this is Mashiach. And he said about him, that he was the Melech HaMashiach. And Maimonides' proof that Mashiach doesn't have to do signs, Vidima, hold on 1 second, he says, Vidima, hu v'chol chachmei doiroi, and he and all of his, the wise men of the generation believed, shehu HaMelech HaMashiach, that he was Mashiach, and until they saw that he got killed, Achan Herag Bavoinus, till he was killed because of the sins, and as a result, it was seen that he was not Mashiach. But, so Rambam says, the sages did not ask him to perform miracles in order to prove his worthiness or that he is Mashiach. They accepted him as Mashiach without miracles. So here's the Rambam's clear proof from a story that happened where Jewish sages were already confronted with the question, is this Mashiach? So when they came to qualify a person and give their stamp and say yes, this is Mashiach and we can follow him, there was no miracles necessary. That wasn't part of his qualifications. So we see from here, Maimonides says, Mashiach doesn't have to do miracles. Okay? Now, hold it. We just made an argument that the Medrash says there will be great miracles that will happen all over in the land, right? And we asked the question before, wait, hold it. Maimonides says Mashiach world is a very natural world. How does it fit? And we tried to answer, there is a difference between the regular world and Eretz Yisrael. That Eretz Yisrael is different. Eretz Yisrael, that's going to be miraculous. Hold it. Where was Shimon ben Kuziva? Where was he? Where did he lead his revolt? He led his revolt in the land of Israel. He was in Israel. If we're going to say that Mashiach in Eretz Yisrael, there will be a turnover of nature, and in Eretz Yisrael, the order will be miraculous, then the Rambam's proof falls away. Then how does the Rambam say? The Rambam says they didn't ask him any signs. But hold it. Doesn't Mashiach have to make signs? In Israel, he does have to change the order of things. So from here we see clearly that even after Mashiach's coming, according to the Rambam, there will not be any miraculous changes in the land of Israel. It's clear. There won't be a change in the nature, even in the land of Eretz Israel. So we have to figure out another way how to reconcile the Rambam with the statement of how to reconcile the Rambam, who says the Mashiach's world has no miracles, with all of these proofs in which it says that there will be miracles. So in order to understand this, again, there's another few possibilities that we can answer it, but we don't have time for tonight to go through all of them. So we're just going to go directly to an explanation, a phenomenal explanation in this idea of how to resolve this question. And that is as follows. One of the main and big questions that there are on the Rambam, one of the main and big questions are, you see, Rambam is basing his idea of Mashiach on a statement of the sages, Shmuel. Shmuel was one of the great sages of the Talmud. Shmuel says in Masechtas Brachos, he makes a statement like this. Ein bein olam azel yemoisa Mashiach, elo shibud malchiyos bilvad. We quoted this earlier. Maimonides actually quotes him. Maimonides says, and again, this is a statement of Shmuel, who says in the Gemara, that there's no difference between the days of Mashiach and our world now, and our present-day world, only the subjugation to the nations. Okay, this is Maimonides' opinion. Again, this is Shmuel's opinion. Maimonides obviously accepts that as the final verdict. That's why he records it in his entire understanding of the Mashiach world is one that is a natural world. It's not a miracle world. The problem the commentators ask on this is another, again, we're gonna have another 2-3 questions before we get to an understanding of what the Rambam is saying. Okay, so bear with me. The question over here is, the Talmud clearly says that Shmuel's opinion is not the only opinion. There are those who argue on Shmuel. Who argues on Shmuel? So the Talmud says like this, Reb Chiya, let me get this is a Gemara in Masechtas Brachos, and it says like this, I think Daf Lamed Amid Beis, Lamed Dalet Amid Beis, the Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Reb Chiya Bar Abba says, Amar Reb Yochanan, Kol Hanaviim Loi Nisnabu Elo LeYemois HaMashiach. All the prophets did not prophesize, meaning when the prophets speak about all the amazing things that are going to happen in the future, he says, the prophets, Reb Chiya Bar Abba says, they were talking about Mashiach. They were not talking about the world to come. The world to come, Olam Haba, the world to come, that is so spectacular. That is so unbelievable. That all the prophecies that we have, they haven't even begun to speak about that. Because the prophets, they were speaking only about the earlier era. They were talking about Mashiach. The world to come, Ayin Lo Ra'asa, and I has never seen it. No one even had a sneak peek. No one ever had even a preview. The prophets didn't see anything of what it is going to be of that great future world of Olam Haba. So again, what is Reb Chiya Bar Abba then saying? That whenever all the prophecies are speaking about Mashiach, the days of Mashiach. So according to this, you got to say that the days of Mashiach better be really, really special if that's what all the prophets are talking about. So the Talmud says, hold it. Reb Chiya Bar Abba he's in conflict with Shmuel. Because Shmuel said that Yemois HaMashiach is going to be a very normal world. It's going to be almost the same like now. The only thing is there won't be any war. We will be getting along with our neighbors very well. And that's the entire difference. The entire difference. So if we say that the prophecies were talking about the world to come, then we can say that Mashiach's world is going to be a very normal world. But if we're saying that the prophets were talking about the days of Mashiach, that means Mashiach has got to be very, 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 very crazy special. Unbelievable. And Shmuel says no. So the Gemara says Reb Chiya Bar Abba and Shmuel are in conflict with each other. These two do not get along. They're not of the same opinion. Fine. The questions the commentators say is the Rambam, Maimonides, quotes both of them in his halacha. Maimonides makes both these quotes. He, on the one hand, quotes what Shmuel says. There's no difference between this world and the world and Mashiach, only subjugation to the nations. That's one quote. Another quote the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, in the Laws of Repentance, Maimonides quotes the words of Rav Chiya bar Abba. Where is this? This is over here. Oh yeah, Amru Chachamim. Maimonides says, "Kol Hanaviim Kulan." This is in Perek Zayin and Perek. I'm sorry, in Perek Ches Halacha Zayin and Hilchos Tshuva. Kol Hanaviim Kulan. All the prophets, Loi Nibu, they did not prophesy Elul Yamosa Mashiach, only for the days of Mashiach. Avala Oylam Abba, but the world to come, Ayin Loi Da'asa. No one has seen it. So the commentators say, "Hey, hold it, Rambam. If the Gemara says that these two are in conflict with each other, that means you can't." Except him and him. It's either or. Pick your choice. The Rambam does both. He says there's no difference between this world and the world to come. Only Shibud Malchi is only subjugation to the nations. And he says that the prophets are talking about Mashiach and not about the world to come. So how do you reconcile both? Another question. The Gemara also tells us like this. It's an interesting thing in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara has a question. If a man is allowed to wear weapons, Shabbos you're not allowed to carry outside in a public domain. The question is a person allowed to walk out with a weapon? Is a person allowed to have a gun, a pistol? A person allowed to have a sword, a spear, a bow? So one opinion holds that yes, you're allowed to. A man is allowed to walk out with that. Well, I could just like a woman is allowed to wear jewelry because they're ornaments, it's part of her dressing, it's her clothing. So too for a man, a weapon is an ornament. That's the one opinion, Rebbe Eliezer. The Chachamim says, no, weapons are no ornaments. Weapons are a shame. It's a shameful thing because the world is in a lowly state. And since one day it's going to be annulled, one day we won't have any weapons anymore. As it says, we're going to take all the weapons and we're going to destroy them. You're going to take your swords and you're going to crush it. You're going to turn it into plowshares. So we won't have weapons one day. And since one day we won't have weapons, so it's an indication that weapons are not a ornament. They're not like jewelry. And therefore, they're not considered clothing. If it's not considered clothing, if you wear it on Shabbos, you're violated the Shabbos. Person has violated the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, hold it, the Gemara says, I'm not going to go through the whole Gemara, it's an interesting Gemara. But the Gemara comes out to a conclusion that the Chachamim, the rabbis, the Chachamim, who say that you're not allowed to wear weapons on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry a weapon on Shabbos, they argue on Shmuel. Because Shmuel said there's no difference between this world and the world to come, only that the Jews won't be subjugated to the nations. That doesn't mean that there won't be net weapons in the world. There won't be any more war or any more conflict. There will be weapons. If we say that what? That you're not allowed to carry something on Shabbos. Again, the sages who say that when Mashiach will come, we won't have weapons anymore, are clearly seeing that Mashiach's world is going to be very different than the world that it is today. And they argue on Shmuel. Okay? Rambam, let's go back. Rambam accepts Shmuel. He states that Mashiach world and our world today are going to be very similar. However, Rambam himself, in the laws of Shabbos, says that if you carry a weapon on Shabbos, then one has violated the Shabbos. He's chayah for violating the Shabbos. Now clearly the Gemara said that if you hold like Shmuel, then you're not violating Shabbos if you're carrying a weapon. Why? Because it's a jewel, because it will always be there. It will be there forever. There will always be weapons in the world. Because don't think that when Mashiach comes, everything is going to be different. It's going to be a normal world. People will still fight. So how can the Rambam accept both again? Again, we find the contradiction of the Rambam. So in order to resolve this, we come with one last question. Who is the one who codified the 13, or rather, who are the ones who formulated the 13 principles of faith? The Jewish people, we believe that there are certain things, 13 things that make up the general faith, the Jewish faith. And one of the 13 principles are the belief of Mashiach is the 12th, and what's the 13th? Believing in the resurrection of the dead. That when Mashiach comes, there will be Tchias HaMesim, there will be the resurrection of the dead. And who formulated that? Those are the 13 animamins were made by the Rambam. Now hold it. If dead people are going to come alive, are going to tell me that that's not a change in the nature of the world? saying the nature of the world is not going to change. Everything is going to be a natural world. But behold, the greatest miracle ever, the greatest miracle, the resurrection of the dead, that is not called a change in the nature of the world. How can the Rambam even say that? There's no change in the world when there is going to be Tchias HaMeisim. Now, hold it. If you remember, we spoke about this a few times in the past, that there is two opinions about what's called Olam Haba, what's called the future, ultimate world, the future world. Some opinions hold, Nachmanides holds, Olam Haba is going to be for souls and bodies together. The ultimate life is going to be body and soul in the physical world. Maimonides, Rambam, believes no. The ultimate world is going to be just souls without bodies. Bodiless souls. That's Maimonides' opinion. It's going to be a spiritual existence. If so, according to Maimonides, when is going to be Tchias HaMeisim, resurrection of dead? I mean, he says you have to, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, then you're missing core belief in your Judaism. But according to Maimonides, when is that going to be? Obviously, you can't say that's going to happen in Olam Haba, because Olam Haba is pure spiritual. So you have to say that Tchias HaMeisim is going to happen when? In the days of Mashiach. So, especially according to Maimonides. See, if Maimonides would believe that Olam Haba would be physical, then we can say, according to Maimonides, that there is two eras. One era is Mashiach, and there's no resurrection of dead by Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, there's no resurrection. It's a normal world. Then afterwards, we'll enter into Yom Shekulei Shabbos, the day that Shabbos, it's Olam Haba, everybody will wake up, and all the dead will come alive, and it will be wonderful. And that's Tchias HaMeisim. Then Maimonides wouldn't have a question. Because we can say, Maimonides is only talking about Mashiach. He's not talking about Olam Haba. Olam Haba is going to be Tchias HaMeisim. But since Maimonides clearly states, Olam Haba is only for Neshamis, so Tchias HaMeisim, resurrection of the dead, has to be in the days of Mashiach. So then we have a very great miracle happening in the days of Mashiach. How can Maimonides stand and tell us that Mashiach is going to be a normal world, where there is no change in nature? All of this forces us to say that we're reading the Rambam wrong. Rambam does not mean that there won't be a change of nature after Mashiach comes. Of course there will. And that's where all the Medrashim are talking about. There will be great changes in the world. Maimonides, however, is saying one thing. Maimonides is saying like this. We have to understand that there is Mashiach himself, the person who is Mashiach, and he is the one who is leading us into the Messianic era. Mashiach's job is not to make miracles. Mashiach has a job description, which Maimonides says in his first chapter, Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th chapter. He says Mashiach has to be a descendant from King David. He has to be a person who studies Torah diligently and is involved and is very observant. He has to gather the Jewish people from the four corners of the world, bring them back to the land of Israel. He has to build and get all the Jewish people to keep Torah and do the mitzvahs. He has to build the Beis HaMikdash and restore the performance, the Torah and the mitzvot, that the Jewish people should be able to study Torah and do mitzvahs. And we should do all the mitzvahs. He says, V'choizrim kol ha-mishpatim, all the laws return like it was when we had the Beis HaMikdash. Basically, the job description of Mashiach is to make it not just possible, but to actually bring about the Jewish people observing the entire Torah. Today's days, we can't do that. We can't do that even if we want to, we can't. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And Jews, when they lived throughout the diaspora, through all the different countries, had many different obstacles in which they couldn't do this and they couldn't do that, because sometimes people around them would stop them, whether it was the Inquisition, whether it was these, the communists and the like. Mashiach has to rid the world from all of that, bring the Jewish people to the land of Israel, make it possible for everybody to keep all of Torah and inspire everyone to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. That's Mashiach's job. Therefore, Maimonides says, it is not the halachic, let's understand something, the halachic criteria of Mashiach is not miracles. The halachic criteria is that in our natural world that we're living in right now, we should be able to obey in complete, in full way, Hashem's mitzvahs. Therefore, Maimonides is saying like this. In the first stage when Mashiach comes, and how long that first stage is, we don't know. It can be a year, it can be 10 years, it can be 20 years, it can be 30 years, it can be 50 years. We don't know exactly, or maybe longer. There is a stage after Mashiach comes when there doesn't have to be any changes in the world. Nothing. All we need to have is an inspired ruler that is going to bring the Jewish people back to Israel. Of course, without any question, there is going to be many hidden miracles. You think about it, to have one Jew that inspires all the Jewish people. So that will take an incredible charisma. That will take an incredible, powerful person. So on. And there will take a lot of hidden miracles and amazing divine providences that will allow for all this to happen where they shouldn't have any problems of the nations and to be able to move the Arabs off the Temple Mount and build a base on Mesa. So we understand that there is somewhat of a miraculous something. But in general, it's not a miraculous world. It's a natural world. It's our world. It's the world as it is. Mashiach should be built. The base on Mesa should be built. The Jewish people have to come back to the land of Israel. That is, and the full compliance and observance of Torah and mitzvahs. That's Mashiach's job. Definitely, without any doubt, later on, after Mashiach comes, there will be a second stage in the Messianic era, in the Mashiachic world, where miracles will happen and changes will happen in the world. And that's clear. There will be Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead. There will be, as we said earlier from the Medrash, animals will stop being predators. Trees will start giving fruit on the very same day they're planted. All trees will bear fruit. All kinds of miracles would happen, but that can happen later. Meaning, Mashiach himself doesn't have to do that. So we don't have to expect when Mashiach comes to say to him, okay, so where are the dead people coming alive? Or where are the trees that are giving fruit? He doesn't need to do that. That's not his job. That's not his qualification. That's not the essence of the coming of Mashiach. The essence of the coming of Mashiach is a world that learns Torah and does and observes the mitzvahs. The Jewish people inspired to learn Torah, to observe the mitzvahs, to connect Hashem, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the full manifestation of Torah and mitzvahs in this world. And not in a miraculous world, in a normal world. Because that's really the objective of Torah and mitzvahs, that we sanctify the normal. We make the natural world holy. So that's Mashiach's job. Now, later there will be miracles. The Rambam is not saying that cannot happen. When does the Rambam say, now here's like, bear with me. When does the Rambam say that the miracles that are mentioned in the Torah are all metaphors? The Rambam is only saying that about those verses that are speaking about Bias HaMashiach. Bias HaMashiach. Bias HaMashiach means the coming of Mashiach. Meaning the Rambam is not talking about Mashiach era. Rambam is talking about Mashiach's coming. That's why, for instance, the pasuk that the Rambam says is a mashal, is a metaphor, where it says, "V'gor zev im kevas," that a wolf and a sheep will lie together, and a goat and a leopard will play together in the playground. The reason why Rambam says that's a metaphor, why can't he say, oh, yeah, that will happen one day? The reason why he says it's a metaphor, because those verses are stated in Yeshaya, in Isaiah, right together where it speaks about Mashiach rising up. The pasuk says, "V'yotza choyter migeze Yishai," a staff will rise forth from the shoots of Yishai, and those are the psukim speaking of Mashiach as he's emerging, as he's coming to the world. In those psukim, Rambam says, and if it says miracles over there, those psukim you can't interpret that it means in the literal sense, because that would mean that Mashiach, his very objective is to change the world with miracles. If that would be the case, then hold it. How did Rabbi Akiva follow Shem ben Koziva? How did Rabbi Akiva accept that he's Mashiach if he didn't have all those signs? So that is for sure the Mashiach doesn't have to do that. So therefore Maimonides says, that you have to say is an allegory, is a mashal, is a metaphor. It's a metaphor. He will reign in a time of peace in the world. That's what Mashiach will do. What will happen later in the days of Mashiach? There can be many miracles. For sure there will be miracles. There will be Tchias HaMesim. There will be the resurrection of the dead. And many other things will happen. That's not a problem. What Rambam is only saying is that the entry of Mashiach into the world and his first effects on the world is not going to be necessarily miraculous. And I'm saying that necessarily. It could be, it will be super miraculous, but that's not the basis. That's not the criteria. It doesn't have to. It doesn't require that. Because the inyan of Mashiach in the world is to make our world a Torah observant world, at least in terms of the Jewish people. And that's Mashiach's job. Miracles can happen later, they might happen later, and they will happen later. How much later? It's yet to be seen. Could happen early, could happen right away, it can happen at a time later. Now, why is that? Let's understand that a little better. Why is it that there will be two stages? Or why are we compelled to say that? That one day there will be changes. Why can't we just say, Mashiach just has to, coach us into a performance of Torah and mitzvahs? Why, or what will cause, or what will serve as the instigator that will bring this second stage? So that is based on an interesting idea. See, the Talmud tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin. Oh, but before we even say that, I just want to answer the questions we asked before. That's why there is no problem with Maimonides accepting both what Shmuel says, and that there's no difference, and that all the prophecies prophesied in the day in regards to the days of Mashiach and not to Olam Abad. There's no problem with that, because when Maimonides says there's no difference between this world and the world to come, he means only right at the beginning. When he brings also the opinion that when Mashiach will come, there won't be any weapons before. That's why Maimonides says if you carry a weapon on Shabbos, it is considered carrying because it's not an ornament, like we said earlier. When Maimonides says that all the prophecy spoke about Mashiach and not about Olam Haba, which we said is a contradicting to Shmuel, it's, according to the Rambam, it's not a contradiction. The reason it's not a contradiction is because Rambam says that's phase two. Phase two, later there will be miracles. When I'm saying there's no difference between the days of Mashiach and our world is only phase one. But now let's go back to what we said earlier. Why? Why are we compelled to say there are two phases? A phase one and a phase two. And the answer is like this. The Talmud tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin that there is one pasuk that says, in Daf Tzadik Ches, page 88, 98, it says, in one pasuk it says that Mashiach is going to come with clouds. Mashiach is going to come to the world with clouds. There's another verse that says that Mashiach is going to come riding on a donkey. Which one is it? Is he coming with clouds or is he coming with a donkey? And what does it mean? What does it mean, clouds and donkey? So the commentators say, clouds means miraculous. A donkey means he's riding on a donkey. He's coming slow and in a very natural way. So how do we resolve it? Which one is Mashiach going to take? Which route is Mashiach coming? Is he coming through the miracle or is he coming through nature? So the Talmud says it depends. Zachu, if the Jewish people merit, then we're going to have a spectacular Mashiach. If we haven't merited, then we're going to have a more natural Mashiach. Mashiach's coming is going to be more within nature. That's what the Gemara says. So you see clear from here that there's two manners in which Mashiach can come. Mashiach's coming is not like, it's not preordained that it has to be one way. It can be in different ways depending on the merit of the Jewish people. So based on this, we'll understand like this. Here, follow. Based on this, we understand like this. Rambam is a halacha book. The Rambam is quoting that Mashiach is going to come. That's why Maimonides cannot speak of a spectacular Mashiach, because that's not necessarily going to happen. Rambam has to give us the must. What definitely will happen? Rambam tells us Mashiach is going to come. Okay. The Mashiach that has to come, that must come without any doubt, Mashiach on its most simplest level, without any icing on the cake, without any extra stunts, Mashiach in its basics doesn't have to bring miracles. Doesn't have to do that. And that's what the Rambam is telling us in the book of Halacha. The book of Halacha. Because the Rambam cannot say that Mashiach is going to come and make great miracles and do it, because that might not be. And Maimonides is telling us what needs to be for the bottom basic. Now, if the Jewish people merit, there will be extra miracles. That's zachu, that's a merit, that's good. That's wonderful. The same is also the reconciliation we spoke 2 weeks ago. In the one place it says that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be built by the human being, by Mashiach. Mashiach is going to build the third temple. In another place it says that the third temple is going to come down from the sky. It's a contradiction. So which one is it? Is he coming from, which one is it going to be? Is he going to come from the sky, or are we going to build it? One of the answers is It depends. If we are not that meritorious, if Mashiach's coming is going to be more natural, if he's coming on a donkey, then Mashiach builds the third base of Mikdash. And all of us are going to help. If Mashiach is coming with the clouds, then the base of Mikdash is also coming with the clouds. Now Rambam, which one does Rambam say? Who's building the base of Mikdash? Rambam doesn't say it's going to come from the sky. Rambam says we're going to build it. Why? Because the Rambam, again, is a book of halacha. A book of halacha. So the Rambam has to tell us what is the bottom, what is the basic? What might happen in addition, that's nice if it will happen, but that's not the basic that could happen. One step deeper than that, and this is what we will conclude with. Maimonides is not giving us the worst case scenario, Mashiach. That's not what he's giving us. He's not like, okay, Maimonides is like, okay, you know, like if it's really going to be bad, this is what's going to be, but it might be better. But this is like, if the worst case scenario, this is what we got. That's not what he's saying. What Maimonides is saying is like this. According to the Rambam, we have to differentiate between the cake and the icing of the cake. There is the essence of Mashiach, and there is all the additions that come later. See, even if Mashiach will come spectacularly and miraculously, that's not his essence. The essence of Mashiach is restoration of the Torah and the mitzvahs in this world. Building the Beis HaMikdash, bringing the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. That's his essence. Everything else is an addition. So even if Mashiach does come miraculously, that's not what defines him. That's not what characterizes Mashiach. Mashiach is the revelation of Hashem in this world, the build-up and the building of the Beis HaMikdash, bringing the Jewish people to serve Hashem. So therefore, according to this, here's the thing. Even if the third Beis HaMikdash comes from the heaven, the way it's going to be according to this idea is, we on our end, halachically, we on our end, the Jewish people, it's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, we go ahead with Mashiach and we build the Beis HaMikdash. Then what is going to happen? If we merit, then the third Beis HaMikdash from above, the heavenly Beis HaMikdash will come down and enclose itself into our Beis HaMikdash. Similar to the idea that once you have the essence of Mashiach, and that is Mashiach restoring the Jewish people to faith, to service of Hashem and building the Beis HaMikdash, after that there can be miracles as well. Or miracles can come simultaneously together with that. But that's not its essence, that's an addition to it. And therefore, comes out according to this, that there is two possibilities, and that is as follows. When Mashiach will come, and Mashiach will usher in, will bring the Jewish, again, the bottom, the bare minimum that needs to happen. Mashiach redeems the Jewish people, we come to Eretz Yisrael. Once we're in Eretz Yisrael, we will not have any more disturbances like we have today. That's for sure. That's even if there's no miracles. Rambam says there will be plenty. There won't be any hunger. There won't be any problems. So we will live a very, 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 very happy life in the land of Israel. That's going to be the first stage, as we said earlier. During that time, when we're not going to have disturbances, when we're not going to have a headache, we're going to find out something very special. What do we do when we really don't have any anxiety and we don't have any stress? The Jewish people will be very, very, very seriously involved in studying Torah and doing mitzvahs. We will be very, very deeply devoted. That's what the Rambam says, Lo yehei esek kol ha'olam kula ela da'ases Hashem. The whole world will be looking for divine knowledge, and definitely the Jewish people will be devoted. As a result of our performance of Torah and mitzvahs in the post-Mashiach era, because there won't be any disturbances, that will make us meritorious. Because even if we're not meritorious, and we enter into the days of Mashiach without merit, but once Mashiach comes, we will have a time period when we will be able to accumulate merit, because there won't be any disturbances. Once we have merit, then we are worthy for the second stage of Mashiach, for the great and spectacular miracles. So it comes out, just the final idea is as follows. If we are meritorious today, right now, and we probably are because of all the good we have done, then we immediately enter Mashiach in a state of zachu, in a state of merit, and then Mashiach comes from the clouds of the sky. which means Mashiach's coming is miraculous. Then we will not have stage number one. We will have immediately stage number two. And everything will become miraculous instantly. All trees will give forth its fruit. The dead will be resurrected immediately. It's quite possible that the dead will come back. Tchias HaMesim will happen on day number one. It's possible. Even though the Zohar says 40 years later and the like, that's only if we're not meritorious. And we have to first have Mashiach coming to bring us to Eretz Yisrael so that we have a chance to have merit. Then we have a duration of time that we need to accumulate merit after Mashiach comes. Then we're elevated, our status. We're elevated to platinum state. We're all elevated to a higher state. Oh, and now we're ready for Mashiach, for the higher stage of Mashiach, and that is the great miracles to come to the world. It will come to stage number two. So it's one of, again, this is all very halachic, what we discussed tonight. This is not Hasidic. This is just plain halacha. The manner in which Mashiach will come. Two possibilities. It can either come in a state of lacking merit. It will be natural. And we will catch up to the merit. And then the miracles will come rolling in. Or, if we're merited immediately, then we will go into the great, great stage of instant miracles in the coming of Mashiach. Interesting, Maimonides, in his book, Egeres Tchias HaMesim, Maimonides wrote a letter to the Yemeni Jews. I think it was to the Yemeni Jews, I'm not sure. No, that's Egeres Taimon. That's a different letter. The Rambam wrote a Jews called Egeres, the letter of Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead. And in that letter, he says that this that I write in the Mishneh Torah, that everything is that I say about Mashiach is all mashal, it's only a metaphor, that's not Eina Dover Hachleti. That's not, it doesn't have to be that way. I wrote it that way, that it could be that way. It's not Huchlet, it's not must be that way. It's possible for it to be differently. It's possible for the miracles to happen immediately. May we merit, we should merit, and we will merit to have a miraculous Mashiach, a spectacular Mashiach, an instant miracle, and we should see it already now, right, even before Tisha B'Av, so that Tisha B'Av will already be able to celebrate with spectacular joy in Eretz Yisrael, in the Beis HaMikdash, with Mashiach Tzidkenu.
Amen. V'yeminu shelayinu V'yasamu Shayu, boy, b'chol yom, shayu.